This is Franz Amundsen with the Travel Trade Exchange podcast. This is going to be a little different interview. I ran across the guest of this show, Andrew Vick, in doing some research, and I'm going to ask him questions that are of interest to me as I prepare for my summer sale. I'm not sure how many people will find this useful or interesting, but I haven't done a podcast for quite a while. I've traveled a lot, but I haven't taken the time to do a podcast, and I haven't received much feedback from listeners. So I'm hoping that we will get some listeners to start adding some stories to this website or asking me to do some interviews with them. So with that, let's get started. This is Franz Amundsen, and I'm talking to Andrew Vick. Andrew Vick, I came across when I was doing some research for my upcoming trip to Croatia this summer, where I plan on sailing from Croatia back to Turkey. And I planned on going down through Montenegro and Albania. And so when I was doing some Google searches, I came across Andrew's blog as well as his YouTube videos that he put out. So Andrew, thanks for joining me and agreeing to let me pick your brain for a while.
Yeah, no problem.
So Andrew, you live in San Francisco, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, how did you end up sailing over in Croatia? Give me your story.
The story. I don't know. I guess I kind of got into sailing around here. We have a pretty good sailing area here in San Francisco. Good winds in the summer. So we can't go very far. So then, reading around, it seemed like the Mediterranean was the place to sail. And I ended up hopping on this kind of floating youth hostel back in 2002. Stayed on it for 6 weeks sailing around, and then kept wondering, how can I get back to the Med and explore more on my own terms? And I was reading this local magazine we have out here called Latitude 38, and they mentioned this. There was a distress sale. There was a couple sailing around. The husband passed away, and the wife sold her Islander 36 quite cheap. So I picked it up, and I've been sailing now 4 summers over there and just been having a blast.
Now, did you pick up the boat in Europe then?
I bought it in, it was laying in Pisa when I bought it, in Italy, west coast of Italy. And yes, I bought it, very stupidly bought it sight unseen, which is not the recommended way to do it. And actually, probably, had I seen the boat, I probably wouldn't have bought it. But it worked out really well.
I've always thought the West Marine should buy these boats and give them away just to be able to sell parts for the boats.
Yeah, West Marine has gotten some money, as have a lot of, well, there's a lot of online, I guess, boat part retailers now. But yeah, I've been spending a lot of money on parts, that's for sure.
Now, I'm on your website, and it looks to me like you set up, just like I do, you set up a route, and you get people to join you during different parts of that route for the summer. And tell me how you go about that. How do you choose your crew? How do you get along? They seem to be a lot younger crew than I have. You're a younger person than I am. I'm 58, and I think you must be in your 30s or 20s or 30s right now, right?
Oh, I'm a very old, I'm 39. Sorry. Age is another topic, but the crew I have, I really only take crew that are friends and acquaintances. I'm pretty lucky here in San Francisco that it's such an international community, and I have Scandinavian-born parents. So I just happen to have a ton of contacts, friends, relatives, acquaintances from all over Scandinavia, and quite a bit from, Germany and other kind of Central European countries as well. So I pretty much, I guess sometime in the winter, I put out the route and I say who wants to come, and yeah, they usually typically fly down for 1 week legs, fly down 1 weekend, we sail to another spot, and then they fly home again. So that's my approach.
That's pretty much what I do. I find I can handle somebody for about a week, but after that, they're going to start getting awfully tired of me, and I'll get tired of them as well. So I do pretty much the exact same thing. In fact, for this coming summer, I pretty much laid out my crews, and all but one are already filled up. So it's the same way. So I want to pick your brain about sailing in Montenegro and Albania, because I'm going to be going down through those areas next summer, and I want to get the lay of the land, so to speak. Well, first of all, this is something we always have to deal with. What were the customs formalities like when you went to Montenegro?
You pull into Montenegro and you have two choices. You can buy a 1 week cruising permit or a 1 month cruising permit. And I guess the 1 month one proportionally isn't that much more than the 1 week one. You need your normal papers. You need insurance. You need boat documentation. You need certificate of competency. And you need some money, some euros, and some patience because they're a little bit ornery. And yeah, I don't know. You've probably noticed already in the East they're not that fun dealing with the government officials. Some are super nice, and some are just really nasty.
Okay. When you sailed in Montenegro, where did you there's is there there's not really many places to anchor. You end up staying in a marina for the most part.
I mean, Montenegro itself has a relatively small coastline. So, I mean, you're going to be starting in Dubrovnik, so you're going to be going south. So your first stop really is in the Bay of Kotor, really, or this whole fjord, which is really exciting in there. There are definitely a few places to stop in there. Have I anchored in there? Not too many places to anchor. It's a fjord, so I mean the water is super deep, even close into shore. So there's a marina in Herceg-Novi. There's a great marina in Kotor. And they're not too, relative to Croatia, they're only about, at least for my 36-foot boat, I mean, we were paying probably about 35 euro per night, which is somewhat less than you're paying up in Croatia. And there's a free spot called Perast, Perast, where you can kind of tie up right alongside a wall outside this restaurant, and it's free. And it's one of my favorite places I've ever parked, actually. I shouldn't say parked, but moored in the Med. So
Where is that? If I'm looking at a map, if I'm pulling in there, where is that place? Because I like free. Free's always good, so.
as you pull into the, I don't know if you're out in the Adriatic, and there's a mouth that enters this big bay, or actually a set of bays in Montenegro.
I'm opening up Google Earth as we speak here, so I'll be looking at it, so. So go ahead, keep going. So you're
Yeah,
pulling
so you
in.
pull into this fjord, and the first place, the first really suitable stop is Herceg-Novi, which is kind of a cool town built on a hillside. They have a little marina, or a little, that's more of a quay than a marina. But lazy lines and docks, lazy lines, electricity, and so forth. No showers. So that's Herceg-Novi. As you pull in further, all the way into the fjord at Kotor, just inside the mouth, this really narrow mouth that leads you into the Kotor Fjord, that's where the town of Perast is, right opposite the mouth. And I found this really awesome spot. I've parked in it twice, just outside of a restaurant. And yeah, you just pull up along the wall and you tie up, and it's free and you're fat. It's such a beautiful spot. Actually, it's the cover shot of my on the 2010 website.
Okay. So I'm looking at this. So you're pulling in. It is. It's as you go in the main entrance to the fjord. Is it straight in, or is it to the next? Do you bear off to the right and go by these other little towns? There's a town here called Cumbro, and Denovici and Bioski. Or is it more close to where the customs dock is in here?
Let's see. Well, the town Perras that I'm talking about, you go all the way in.
Oh, okay. So way in. Oh, okay. There it is. So it's in the inner fjord then, way in there. Okay,
Yeah.
okay.
And the inner fjord, that's the dramatic one. That's the one that makes you think you're sailing in Norway, except suddenly it's warm instead of cold. Because I mean, you have these, 1500 meter high mountains on each side of you, and it's super dramatic. Just spectacular.
Have you been in there? Have you? I've noticed in Croatia, especially when I've been south of Dubrovnik. The boars seem to blow fairly heavily there in the summer. Have you had that problem in Montenegro? Did you notice that in Montenegro when you were there?
Let's see. I've done two runs through Montenegro, and let's see. I remember one night in Kotor. There was a bit of a bora blowing, and definitely happy that I was tied up to some lazy lines. But that was in Kotor, in the main town, and again, just 30 something euro a night. That was a pretty good deal. But the bora, yeah, I mean, the in that area, the bora is always something you have to think about, and it is highly annoying and stressful at times.
Yeah, it's always starts at about 1 in the morning and keeps you awake the rest of the night. That's been my experience, so. So tell me about your travels down. I read your blog, And but this is an interview. Most of the people that are listening to this haven't read your blog. And oh, by the way, give them a heads up on what your website is and your YouTube site is right now so they can go look at it.
So my boat's name is Geja, which is Gejja. And so the website is sailgeja.com. As far as YouTube goes, I guess you just have to type in Sail Geja on a YouTube search, and you'll see a bunch of my kind of highlights from each of my legs and also kind of overall summer highlights. So as far as my travels in – so you want to hear a little bit about Montenegro then?
Sure. Well, I've got Montenegro and Albania are the ones I really want to learn about, but I want to hear about all your stories, so go on.
All my stories. That could take a while. I think we got to get a little more specific, but Montenegro is awesome. When I first entered the Adriatic in 2008, my first adventure in the Mediterranean on Gaia, anyway, we crossed over from Italy and we hit Budva. Now, Budva's an awesome, it's a crazy, crazy party town, and it's just a supermodel parade. You have all the hottest girls from Ukraine, Serbia, Russia. It's just, you won't believe what you see. Budva is just, it's just, yeah, just insane. A little bit expensive in the marina, probably about 50 euro a night for my 36 footer. But I think you can actually anchor off the beach, but you have to be kind of open to loud music late at night because their beach clubs go pretty late and are very loud. So I know you're doing Montenegro this year, so I would definitely budget some time. If you have any younger crew, Budva is just awesome. It's an attractive place, but it's kind of a, yeah, I don't know. Let's call it the Vegas of Montenegro in a way.
So have you, you know, when you did a, when you got, when you started sailing in Europe, what countries did you visit on that, you know, before you had your own boat?
You know, back in 2002, when I was on that floating youth hostel for 6 weeks, we explored the islands of Corsica, Sardinia, and Elba, which are all kind of in the Ligurian Sea, off the west coast of Italy. So that's what I did back in 02. Actually, in 04, I rejoined that same sailboat for a couple of weeks in Croatia, sent all around the Split region. And that's when I discovered that Croatia was kind of the place to be in the Med.
Now, say spend some time in. I had only planned on spending 2 or 3 days in Montenegro, but you're saying I should budget a little more time in Montenegro. It sounds like so. I'll change my schedule around accordingly. Now, from Montenegro, you sailed south to Albania, and my insurance a few years ago specifically excluded Albania from my cruising territory. In fact, it said I had to keep so many miles away from Albania. So obviously things have changed quite a bit. And what was your experience in Montenegro? Or excuse me, in Albania?
Yeah, Albania. You know, that was kind of the. Anyone who's kind of going back to Greece from the Adriatic Sea has to make a choice whether to go along the Albanian coast or go along the Italian coast. And I chose to do Albania. I had a really good time, a really interesting experience. I mean, the country, I guess, was pretty much isolated itself from the rest of the world for most of last century. And they're kind of paying the price. I mean, they're very, it's a very poor country. Very friendly people. They're very helpful. Not too many tourists there. It's definitely off the beaten path. I mean, when you sail down the coast, you don't see any other boats. I think in the, I don't know, the 5 days I was transiting, its coastline, I mean, I think we saw two other sailboats and hardly any other private boats at all, and hardly any fishing boats. It was kind of eerie in a way. But we did an overnight sail. We left Ulcin in Montenegro, and that took an overnight sail to get down to what's the bay called? Vlore, V-L-O-R-E.
Vlore, yeah. So you didn't stop anywhere because there's a lot of coast before you get down there. Did you have to go there to clear in? Was that where you had to go to clear in?
Not really. I think, I was kind of judging from the cruising guide and what they were saying. It didn't seem like there was too much to see or very hospitable places for boats in the northern half of the country. I mean, there's a big port called Durres, D-U-R-R-E-S. But just from the description, it seemed like, the country just doesn't have facilities for visiting sailboats, visiting boats of any kind. So Durres, it sounded like you were going to pull into this really commercial harbor where there were security concerns. You had to kind of walk in the heat to kind of track down the different customs offices and things. So So I kind of bypassed Urus. It just didn't sound that appealing. Pulled into that bay at Vlora, and I guess on one far end of the bay, some Italians have actually built a little marina. So we pulled into there, and one of the nice things is that they actually arranged our customs entry for us. They just typed some things on the computer and said, "Okay, you're in Albania now."
So it was that
So
easy then.
it was that easy. Yeah, I was really happy because I'd been reading other people's blogs, and it sounded like I had to tie off on this, big commercial pier with those big, tire fenders that kind of mark up your boat and climb up crazy ladders and who knows what. But these Italians, yeah, they had it all set up. They said, "Yeah, you're in, you're good." So that was really hassle-free.
Did they give you some sort of document you had to carry with you on the boat? I assume they did.
I don't think they did somehow. And at some point they said, "Oh, the police might want to come down and stamp something." But then the police, they said, "Oh, the police aren't coming after all." So I wasn't entirely confident that they did it entirely by the book, but I don't know.
You didn't get troubled with it by it later on, so that's good enough then.
Yeah.
So that's I'm looking at Google Earth. That's way down south in that bay. That's Orca Marina. Is that the one you're talking about? Okay.
Exactly. That is, I think that's Albania's only marina.
And then from there, how many days did you spend there in Vlorë?
We pulled in there early one morning after the overnight sail, and it's kind of funny when you pull in or to that bay, or as you approach the bay, and you start to zoom in on your electronic charts, and that's when you first see all the warnings of mines, of old sea mines that are in the area. So here you are sailing through this restricted area with sea mines, but apparently the charts are a little bit out of date, and it is, they say it's safe to travel on the surface, but be careful where you put your anchor. You don't want to trigger any mines.
Wow. All
So,
right. So from there, so you spent a couple days there and then you
no,
can.
we pulled in early one morning, so we spent the whole day, which basically meant, taking the bus into the town of Vlora, and it was interesting and all, but it was kind of run down, kind of funky. It was very interesting to see, but we didn't see that much reason to spend more than a full day there. So we spent the night and then got going the next morning. And continue down the coast. We pulled off. We had really calm weather, so we actually pulled off kind of open roadstead anchorage. But we found this great little beach, beautiful beach, clear water, nobody around at all. We just dropped the anchor. We swam ashore, just kind of explored around a little bit, and ended up spending that next night in, I think it's called Himare, Himare.
When I read your blog, I went through Google Earth and put some place marks down where you mentioned. So I'm looking at that right now. So the little horseshoe site type bay there, and that's where you dropped your anchor.
Yeah, well, there's a town, Himare, and actually a little south of that is Porto Palermo, which is actually even a better anchorage, a little more protected probably. But Himare actually had a town connected to it, and it was fun to go ashore there, get some dinner, and that was fun. So we spent a night there, which was enough. You kind of see what there is to see in a day.
So then you continued further south, and what was your next stop after that?
Guess the next stop, well, the next night we ended up in the town of Saranda, which is really in the far south. Although we did take a swim stop, we found a nice little beach again, probably about an hour before Saranda, where we kind of dropped the anchor in a little cove and had a swim. Ended up in Saranda, and that's a place where it's a little more official. So I called this agent called Agim, who you'll probably see on noonsight.com, and for 40 euro, he kind of set us up with all the paperwork we needed and arranged a spot on the very secure kind of commercial port. Not a really industrial type port, but they had this kind of commercial quay where we had to kind of drop the anchor and back up against the wall. And that was really secure, pretty much in the heart of town. And that was great. We actually ended up spending 2 nights there, rented a car on the one day and drove around the interior a little bit. Had a great time. Beautiful places. Yeah, definitely recommend it.
I read that and I thought, okay, I like to do that. I like to do some inland travel along the way, so that'd be a good place to stop and do that. You felt safe leaving your boat there while you were there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's totally gated. You have police, you have customs, you have everybody right there. So yeah, that was absolutely secure. No questions. And when we wanted to stay a second night, I mean, they only collected like 5 euro for us to stay the second night. And I think we were able to get water there and fill the water tanks. And there might have been electricity. I don't remember. We have solar panels, so we don't really, depend on shore power that much.
Okay. What about, the things skippers always look for, fuel and food? Do you always eat out, or do you eat on the boat very often?
You know, we'll probably eat like typically breakfast and lunch we eat on board. Dinners we probably eat out a little bit more often than we eat in. I find, I mean, I'm more, I think in Croatian prices where for about 10 euro I can get, a nice beer and a whole pizza that totally fills me up. The beer is good, and 10 euro, it's worth it. You're out there, you're visiting, you're seeing the people. You don't have to wash dishes. So. But it's nice cooking on board too. It's nice to drop an anchor somewhere and where it's totally quiet, and then of course you have to cook. But that's also totally nice. Just sitting in the cockpit, stars above you, it's
Did
great.
you find open air markets along the way anywhere?
Pretty much, I mean, everywhere in Croatia and Montenegro, definitely a lot of open air markets. I don't remember what we saw in Albania. I think we ended up mostly at supermarkets, although I guess we didn't explore that much. But yeah, but those, those local, those, what we would call in the US farmers markets, I mean, I mean, they're pretty much all over the place, and it's great. You get so much nice fresh veggies. Super.
Great, great. Well, all right. From there, you continued on down to Corfu, right?
Yeah, it's not that far. I mean, you can see the island of Corfu from Saranda, so it's I forget how, yeah, it's a very easy day sail from Saranda down into Corfu town. And there are places to stop on the way as well, although I guess they like it when you check in at Corfu first at the town, or maybe at that marina called, what's the marina just north of Corfu town? Big one.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it though. But so you can check in at the marina then.
I think
Yeah, here,
so.
let me zoom in and see what the name of that is. It's called because I've fueled up there, because that was always a good place to fuel. But I know I always checked in at the main check-in dock down in the city. So coming back, if I can check in at that marina, that'd be a lot easier to do it that way, because there's a great grocery store right in the marina too.
Is there? Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we got here? I'm looking at Google Earth at the same time, and if I can,
Let's,
Guvia.
that's it, Guvia, right? Okay. I just had to turn on my photographs. There we go, Guvia Marina. Okay, so that's where you do. So did you stay in Guvia?
Yeah, we never stayed. No, I guess I was just saying that Guvia does offer check-in, but we actually just went straight for Corfu Town. And actually, we were kind of bad. We didn't really check in for a couple of days, and luckily, we didn't get caught. But I don't know. Sometimes you have the crew along, and it's Friday night. You're anxious to just kind of get settled and get the weekend going. So,
Yeah,
not too
yeah.
smart, but
Now you stayed. When I was reading your blog, you stayed at the yacht club, which is right at the base of that fortress, isn't it? Is that
yeah.
the one
What's it
I'm
called?
thinking of?
Mandraki, I think it's called, as an American might say it.
Okay, you stayed there, and that had a nice bar, club, cafe, and then you probably stayed at the other marina on the other side of town as well, right?
I had two stays, so I mean there are a few different options here. So the Mandraki Harbor, which I guess is some old ancient Venetian harbor, was really great. I mean you're just right underneath the old fort. And that was super. You can also anchor on the other side of it. It's kind of a popular anchorage. And then the other kind of yacht club is on the other side, and it's called NOAK, NOAK, which I think is an acronym for the yacht club there. And that's the one that sits right underneath a really cool club called, oh man, too long ago to remember. Hook. I think it's called Hook.
Okay. Well, while you've been traveling, what is your typical summer travel? Is it usually about 2 months on the boat or 3 months on the boat? What are you looking for this summer? Because I did you go last year, or did you leave the boat on the hard last year?
No, I have gone every summer for the past 4 summers, including 2011. the first trip, I was underway for about 3 months, and ended up hanging out even a month longer in Croatia, just kind of anchored off the town of Split, which you're not allowed to do anymore. I figured that was kind of, once in a lifetime experience. Didn't really figure that I'd be doing it consecutive years. Yeah, anyway, my first 3 years were pretty much, between 11, 12, 13 weeks underway. This most recent summer, 2011, I limited it to 6 weeks, just as to not disappear from responsibilities for too long. And this coming summer, 2012, I don't know, probably another, 6 or 7 week trip.
What do you do in the off season?
Off season? That's too long a story to get into.
The real life, I guess, then. Okay. Well, do you have any particularly great story you have that when you think about your trips, do you have one or two, great memories that you refer back to over and over again?
And yeah, there's so many amazing impressions you get over there. Sometimes I think of the, in terms of cruising grounds, the Aeolian Islands off the northeast tip of Sicily are just fantastic. You think you're in some kind of science fiction movie, where, just these volcanoes are just sticking out of the sea and some are, spewing lava and smoke and things. Venice, taking the dinghy through the canals in Venice was just amazing. What else? And a lot of it has to do with kind of the people you run into. I remember in 2010, I needed to replace an outboard, and these Italians, it's always the Italians who are the friendliest. I mean, they just took me around. I mean, did everything for me to acquire an outboard. So you also, yeah, you think a lot about the people that kind of help you out along the way.
When you visited the Aeolians, because that brings up a story that I'll tell, where did you approach the Aeolians from? Did you come down the coast? Where did you, or you, were you coming across from? Where
We
did?
were already on Sicily in a town called Cefalù. So we were
Okay,
coming from
I know
there
where.
in a
So
northeast
you're
direction.
coming up south. Okay, I was working my way across the Mediterranean, and I would, my family had got off the boat in Salerno, and that, I excuse me, I sailed over to Capri, spent a night in Capri, got up really early in the morning, no wind at all, dead calm, and I was by myself, and I started motoring south of the Aeolian Islands because I was going to be joining my next crew was going to join me in Porto Rosso, on Sicily, on the mainland Sicily. And so I'm sailing down, and I go all day long, and it's hot, and it's dead calm, and the night comes, and I'm trying to stay awake in the cockpit, and it's the boat's under autopilot, and it's about probably about 2 in the morning. I get up, and I need to take a whiz, so I go up to the shrouds and hold on to the shrouds, and while I'm taking a whiz, I look forward, and a red light comes on directly in front of me. Directly in front of me, and I run back to the cockpit and I slow up. And as I'm looking at this light, it goes out. I'm thinking, wow, what was that? And I turn off the engine because I'm thinking, well, maybe I can hear something. Couldn't hear a thing. Turn the engine back on, put the boat back on the course, continued on. About a half an hour later, the exact same thing happened. And it kept happening about every half hour, and it was really bizarre. And it wasn't until the lights were just starting to come up in the dawn that I saw what it was, and it was Stromboli erupting. And it's been erupting for, every half hour for the last 1,000 years, I guess. So, but I didn't know that at the time. When I found out, I went down to looked at the pilot again and says, "Oh yeah, it's still erupting." So it was such a bizarre experience.
The world's oldest lighthouse.
That's what they say. So, when you were in the Aeolians, did you have good weather or bad weather?
Well, it was sunny and everything. It didn't rain, but we had a lot of wind. I mean, the wind just kind of swirls around there like crazy, and there aren't that many great places to park, so.
Yeah, I had the same experience. I was on Vulcano, and I anchored there, and it was dead calm. And about 1 in the morning, the wind started blowing. And I was in a fairly shallow bay. Waves built up really fast. They were coming right at us. We were on a lee shore. And so I ended up spending the night in the cockpit. We were bouncing around a lot. And the boat next to me, steel boat, I saw him get up on his deck and go up to his windlass and let some anchor line out. which is what you sort of think. You want to have a lot more anchor line out when it gets rough like that. Well, what he did is he let out a lot all at once, and the boat started drifting backwards. It got to the end of its chain and popped it out. If it let it out slowly, he might not have had that problem. And he ended up dragging ashore, and he was ashore that, the next morning he had to go hire another boat to drag him off. Fortunately, it was a steel boat, so there wasn't really any damage to the hull, but that was my experience in Volcano. And then I continued to have bad weather. Every time I went somewhere, I had more and more bad weather, and I kept getting blown back to Lipari. That was about the only place that had a decent harbor where you could anchor. If you anchored, it was still a deep anchorage, around 100 feet deep, unless you got right up to the wall, but at least it was protected. So I just had bad weather, except for the first day when I was sailing down through there. And then after that, it was windy, windy, windy. So that was my experience.
Yep, sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Lipari too. That's yeah. We ended up at least, I think, two, maybe even three nights there of our 4 nights in the region.
That's where you have to go back to when there's wind and there's no other place to anchor. So,
Yep.
well, Andrew, what are your plans for this summer?
The summer, haven't really figured it out, but probably, from my home base in Split or near Split, Croatia, I'm probably gonna head south into Montenegro again. Instead, though, of continuing down through Albania, I'll probably, shoot across to Italy and explore that coast a little bit more, and then circle back to Split. So see if I can do a nice little 6-7 week itinerary like that.
Oh, that'll
So.
be great. Have you thought of moving on to Greece and Turkey at all? I mean, through to Turkey?
Probably the most logical thing to do at this point, since I've kind of fully explored the Adriatic, would be to do kind of a one-way, one-way summer cruise from Split to Turkey. Kind of like you're doing now. Yeah, I guess. Oh, what are the reasons? I'm very comfortable in Split. I have a very old, very delicate boat, and the boatyard that I found in Croatia are they're very attentive, very patient, very. I don't know. They know the boat. They're located right next to an international airport. It's a lot of very easy for backpackers and other independent travelers to get to Split in Croatia and other parts of Croatia. So I think I'm just gonna kind of stick with the comfort of that area. Maybe down the road, once I get maybe a little more solid boat, a little more robust, maybe explore around a little further. But yeah, for now, gonna stick close to home, so to speak.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time, Andrew, and I'll post this on the website, and I hope you have some friends listening to it.
Yeah, no, definitely send me let me know the link to it, and I definitely want to hear more about how your summer is going, and I'm going to refresh a little bit, see what dates you're going to be there, but
Well, that was my interview with Andrew Vick. I appreciate your time, and I hope you tell your friends about this podcast. And I hope at some point in time some listeners will call in or you send me an email and either tell their stories and send it to me in an MP3 file or ask to do an interview so I can talk to them about their travels and adventures. This is Franz. I appreciate you listening. Please go to our website at www.traveltradeexchange.com. Either post your stories or send me an email to conduct an interview if you have some interesting stories to tell.